When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Steve Gorham. We're going to take calls with Steve next hour. Steve, let's break down some of these greenhouse gases and some of the cycles that we were talking about.
Sure. So the greenhouse effect is what is blamed for dangerous global warming. And the greenhouse effect is an effect that's named sunlight enters Earth's atmosphere. And what isn't reflected by clouds goes down and is absorbed by the surface of the Earth. And the Earth, like any warm body, will give off a lower energy infrared radiation. And you can't see that radiation, but we know it's there. And it goes back out and tries to escape into space, but it is absorbed by greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. It causes the molecules of these gases to vibrate. And then as those gases cool down, they re-radiate this infrared, and that whole effect does tend to warm the surface of the Earth. That is established science.
Go ahead.
But if you start to break down the greenhouse effect, the first thing you learn is that Earth's dominant greenhouse gas, and I usually ask this of audiences, is not carbon dioxide, it's not methane, it's water vapor. Scientists estimate that somewhere between 75 and 90% of Earth's greenhouse effect is caused by water vapor in clouds. And so if you start with 75% and you say, okay, three-quarters of the greenhouse effect is due to water vapor, and you look at the last quarter, most of that part of the greenhouse effect is caused by carbon dioxide. But then you have to say, okay, well, how much of that last quarter, the CO2 in the greenhouse effect, is from our industries? Because the world is filled with carbon dioxide. The oceans hold 50 times as much carbon dioxide dissolved as is in the atmosphere. When plants and the oceans are always releasing CO2 and absorbing it. When plants die, they release carbon dioxide, and when they grow, they absorb it. And then we have volcanoes, both above the surface of the ocean and about 10 times as many under the ocean, that are putting gases like carbon dioxide into the environment all the time. Every day, nature puts 20 times as much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere as all of Earth's industries.
Jeez.
Every single day, 20 times as much. So when you roll this all together, you find that human industry is responsible for about 1 or 2% of Earth's greenhouse effect. That's all. That means if we completely eliminated all emissions, we probably might not be able to measure the difference in global temperatures. And so this whole greenhouse effect idea really is you know, it's beyond common sense. Now, one of your listeners might say, well, then how come scientists think that this is all causing the issue?
Some scientists, of course.
Probably a majority of scientists, but that is a situation, over a little bit over half anyway. Well, every climate scientist knows that carbon dioxide by itself can't cause dangerous global warming. That's because it's a very small part of the absorption spectrum. And remember, water vapor is the biggest part. And the other thing is it's a nonlinear effect. The first carbon dioxide in the atmosphere raises Earth's surface temperatures a fair amount. But as you put more and more into the atmosphere, it's a logarithmic effect. You have less and less effect. And so a scientist estimated that if you double atmospheric carbon dioxide, either from natural effects or from man-made, we'd only increase temperatures by about a degree total. That's all. And so then, okay, how do climate scientists get to this alarming prediction of rising temperatures? The answer is they rely on a thing called positive feedback. And the logic says that, okay, we put a little, our industry puts a little carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. The atmosphere warms a little bit. It can now hold more water vapor. Water vapor is a greenhouse gas. And it provides a positive feedback. It warms a lot more. But a lot of evidence shows that that is not occurring. The climate models have vastly overestimated the warming. We've had very little warming in the last few years. And so this idea is all based on this this increased water vapor, not on carbon dioxide, and the evidence is not showing that this is occurring.
And by the way, Steve, none of this means that we are not going to have catastrophic weather changes. It just is, how is it caused and why?
That's right. The Earth, our weather varies quite a bit across the Earth. On any given weekend, you can go somewhere in the world and find what appears to be a 500-year weather event, a drought or a flood or a storm. Mm-hmm. That's just the way Earth's climate is. We have these big variations. And people seem to think, you know, I haven't seen a storm like this in 40 years. This must be really abnormal. Matter of fact, must be my neighbor's SUV doing it. But if they look back 100 years or 200 years, we see many of the same storms. And so, again, the evidence doesn't show that we're seeing increases in either frequency or severity of the weather.
And by the way, to folks who might not realize, when they talk about a 500-year flood, it means technically that every 500 years you're going to get a flood of this significant, huge magnitude. However, like in St. Louis in 1993, we had a 500-year flood. But that doesn't mean 500 years from now, 2493, we're going to have another one. It could happen the next year right after that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I want to talk at some point here about the Great California Flood of 1859-1860. But I want to mention one other thing about temperature. I had a couple of students call me up from the University of Southern California, wanted to do an interview, and so we did. And I said, we have to let me ask you a few questions. And one question I posed to them was, okay, how much do you think Earth's temperatures have risen in the last century? And one girl said, 15 degrees, which I think is sort of the perception out there in the public. The answer, though, is 1 degree in 130 years, 1 degree Celsius. All of the major temperature metrics at NASA and NOAA and from England all say we've had 1 degree of rise in 130 years, which is no way abnormal compared to global cycles. And it, you know, it can't possibly be the deciding factor in California's forest fires, for example, a couple of tenths of a degree over a few decades. It's just, but people lose the perspective. They go, oh, things are really getting hotter. We've got this problem. But the evidence doesn't show that.
Hasn't the California governor basically blamed human-caused climate change for these wildfires when it's really PG&E, the electrical power company?
Yeah, well, PG&E probably plays a factor because if power lines can cause sparking and all the rest.
And it's dry.
And it's dry. But Governor Newsom, you're right, has blamed climate change. The problem is, though, again, we're talking about a couple tenths in a few tenths of a degree in a few decades, and to think that that is the big deal with and the dryness Again, if you look at data from NOAA, there are we've gone through dry periods in the past over the last century. There was a study done in just a couple years ago called the the Little Hoover Commission Report.
The Little Hoover Commission Report, all right.
In 2018, and they said there are three big reasons why California is having these disastrous fires, and they are getting worse, and they're burning more area. But one of the reasons is we've had a century of fire suppression, and so they've prevented these forest fires for a long time, and the forests are now crowded with tinder dry brush, and it's also worsened conditions for insect damage and disease. I think it was the U.S. Department of Agriculture that estimates that we had something like, it's U.S. Forest Service, 147 million dead trees in California, and most of those dying since 2010. The other factor is they've cut way down on forestry. It's down about 65% in the last two or three decades. So we have all these forests that are choked with brush. We're not cutting down the trees. And so when we have a fire, we have these huge conflagrations that nobody can stop. Again, this has nothing to do with 0.2 degree temperature rise, it's almost negligible.
Is there big money in man-made climate change issues?
Well, it is. I think it's one of the factors.
Ah, yes. Follow the cash.
Over $300 billion a year right now to try and force a switch to renewables, all sorts of other factors. We have vice presidents of sustainability at companies and deans of sustainability universities. We have environmental desks at newspapers. We have wind and solar and biofuel industries, and all these things have become big business.
Now, there's nothing wrong with renewables, though. What's wrong with that?
Well, yeah, I'm not necessarily against renewables. I just think that we shouldn't be subsidizing and forcing the adoption of renewables with the idea that we're going to stop the climate from warming or the planet from warming. There's no evidence of that. We also have some what I would call kind of severe movements now. We have something called Electrify Everything.
Why don't they simply say, though, Stephen, we're running out of natural resources, folks. We need renewables. It has nothing to do with climate change. We just need to be able to save the planet because one day, with all these people that are being born on this planet, we're going to run out of natural resources. We're going to be up a creek. Why can't they?
And that has been an argument. The fact is, though, it's not true. As I talk about in Outside the Green Box, so-called resource depletion isn't happening. We have literally, because of the hydrocarbon revolution from fracturing, we have centuries, at least a couple centuries, of oil and gas remaining. We also have these methane hydrates on the coastal shelves under the ocean, where they literally have this ice that is full of natural gas. Those estimates are 10 times as large as all the gas reserves in the world. So there's really no evidence that we're running out of resources. So that argument doesn't work very well either.
What's your take on 100 U.S. cities that have pledged to be 100% renewable by 2050?
Yeah, it's a big fad. We have I'll give you some extreme examples. St. Louis.
That's where I am right now.
That's where you are right now. I think by 2035 they want to be 100% electricity renewable. But the state of Missouri gets about 77% of their power from coal, electrical power, and 97% from non-renewable sources. Ohio is similar. Both Cincinnati and Cleveland mayors or city councils have pledged they're going to be 100% renewable. Ohio is 3% renewable today. These city leaders have absolutely no idea of how to do this and what it's going to cost. But the evidence we see around the world is that it is going to raise energy prices for the residents.
The big issue, too, is scientists are warning of a major sea level rise by 2100. And, of course, they're blaming the carbon dioxide pollution for this.
They are. Former Vice President Al Gore, in his movie and in his books, talked about a 20-foot rise by the year 2100. And he got that data from Dr. James Hansen at NASA. Others have predicted big rises. But we have very good data on tide gauges. And tide tide gauges around the world, we have them all over the world, show on average a rise of 7 or 8 inches per century. Further, you can go to a site at NASA, and NASA tells us that oceans have risen 120 meters, 390 feet in the last 20,000 years. And no scientist can tell you when natural sea level rise stopped and man-made sea level rise began. So the great news is we're probably going to have to adjust to a 7 or 8 inch per century rise. The bad news is water ski Manhattan postcards are not going to be in big demand.
Not going to happen.
So, yeah, any politician who tells you he knows how to stop the rise of the seas, I think you better get a little better person to follow.
Now, is there any companies leading the way to get this thing taken care of where people don't panic and think it's all man-made?
Well, I'm sorry to say most of industry has bought into this. There's tremendous pressure on companies. I talk about it in Outside the Green Box. Companies are spending millions of dollars every year on environmental methods or procedures that don't really do anything for the environment, such as subsidizing and purchasing renewables, counting their carbon dioxide footprint, even buying carbon credits and a lot of other things. When I present to companies, I say there's only one place for this activity. That's in your public relations department, because it doesn't do anything else. But they're under terrific pressure. Even the petroleum industry has come out saying that we have a great product, everybody wants it, but it's causing the climate to change and it's hurting mankind. So,
what's your take, Stephen, on weather manipulation? Because I'm convinced we have that capability.
I think we do on a local scale. Certainly, they've been cloud seeding for a lot of years. And my uncle, who was in the Air Force, said he knew how to do it a while back. And I think that can be done locally. Matter of fact, it was kind of funny. About 4 or 5 years ago, the mayor of Moscow said that they now know how to control snowfall. And the very next winter, he got about 30 inches in a single storm. So
maybe that's what they did the wrong way. I remember when China was hosting the Olympics, some reporter asked one of the Chinese officials, "What are you going to do? This is the rain season." And the Chinese official said, "Don't worry about the weather. We control that."
Well, I do think if mankind wanted to do some big engineering projects, they could certainly adjust Earth's temperatures. The problem is, I don't think we know which is the right direction. You know, you had an expert on earlier talking about the lack of sunspots. Like 250 days, Dr. Svensmark of Denmark and a number of others have postulated that the sunspots on the surface of the sun affect Earth's temperatures. And this lack of sunspots portends that we're likely to enter a cooling period for a number of years. I could go into how that theory breaks down, but so it may be that we'd go out there and put a bunch of things in the atmosphere to try and keep the planet from warming, and if we enter a cool period, that would not be the right thing to do.
No, it would not at all. So what do we do? How do we get this to change? How do we get people to change and realize we're in a cycle? It happens. It's always happened. It's happened during the dinosaur era, and it's always happened. How do we get them to accept that?
We can go into cycles, too. But I don't know, George. I'm not sure people are going to change. I think, unfortunately, that cities and states have to learn the hard way. We've seen this in a number of locations now. We've seen it in Australia. In Australia, they went all in for wind and some other things, and their electricity rates went up by 100% in the last decade in the capitals of Australia. U.S. electricity rates have gone up 8% over the same decade. Same thing in Ontario, 100% electricity increase. They put in about 10% renewables, and it just went off the map. In Europe, in Germany, and Denmark, they have about 30,000 wind turbine towers. Those two nations have the highest electricity rates in the world, four times the United States price. We have the yellow vests in Paris that were rioting. I think people eventually say, "Hey, you know, this isn't working. This is driving up our energy costs." But I'm afraid that states like California are going to have to learn the hard way that this really isn't good policy.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.